Thank you, and hi again. Promise I'm going to be as fast as possible. We all want to go out and enjoy the wonderful weather we have in Denver today. Okay, this is from our Heart Health campaign. This was actually done in 2009. Some disclosures, yes, this was an industry-sponsored grant by AstraZeneca Pharmaceuticals. I'm going to give you some Hispanic health data in the context of cardiovascular disease with Hispanics, which Craig already gave some of the data. I'm going to try to show you some graphics just to spice it up a little. Then I'm going to talk about what the educational sessions were about, were the results, and then the actions that we took after we found the different problems that we have in the community. Number one, something that we haven't heard today, but project life expectancy in years of the Hispanics. Yes, we live longer than other groups. Not long ago, I believe 2 weeks ago, CDCI and the National Center for Science and Statistics put the data, the real data out and say, yes, you guys live longer. Yes, we live longer, but we also die of heart disease. Heart disease is still number one killer, except that if we compare with other groups, we die less of heart disease. Very interesting. Diabetes, everybody has mentioned, major problem in our community. If we look by subgroups, Mexican Americans and Puerto Ricans have higher rates compared to any other group. Obesity, everybody in the panel already I think that addressed this issue. Hispanics are just right behind African Americans in the rates of obesity. And we don't exercise. I'm pretty sure working with the community, you have the same experience that probably we have when I ask some members of the community, like, you know, you need to start exercising. And they're like, well, I work 3 jobs. What else do you want me to do? I move all day. The problem is that they are not getting the cardio. They are not getting that physical activity, the fitness that they need to get. And if they say, I want to exercise, I say, well, you should go to the park. There are no parks in the neighborhood where I live. Or when I get home, you know, it's not that safe to go out and start walking around the neighborhood. So there are different issues that I'm not going to address here, but it's part of the problem why this lack of physical activity. Liz already gave us some numbers about overweight in younger adults, and Mexican Americans are just going over on those rates. Getting to the cardiovascular part, Craig mentioned this, we are the less likely to actually check our cholesterol, and we are the more likely to have undiagnosed hypertension. That was something that Valerie mentioned before. We did in 2008, I believe, 3,000 different screenings, full lipid panel in 10 different cities across the state, 3,000 participants, and we found that 49% of the people that we screen have borderline high or high levels of cholesterol. They really didn't know about their heart disease risk factors, but they expressed that there is history in their families, diet, body shape, etc. And apart from that, we also take their blood pressure, and yes, a lot of the participants, 71% of participants, were in those high readings of pre-hypertension. So what did we did? We established Para un Corazón Saludable, for a healthy heart, a national educational campaign to teach the Hispanic community about the risk of cardiovascular disease. And in 2009, we focused a lot in teaching them about atherosclerosis. What we did, with the same community partners that we have for those Vive to Vida, Get Active Moving events in 9 different cities, we teach the community about atherosclerosis in small workshops the day of the event. We were able to reach 2,000 people in 1 year, and that's part of why we submit, because we consider that this is a good, reasonable sample with the results that we got. Each workshop was delivered by a promotora, a health community educator, and it lasted between 10 to 20 minutes. We asked all the participants to complete a pre and post test during the session. So what did we find? Nothing like what you're seeing here, but pretty close to. The pre-test, before they actually hear about what atherosclerosis is. 50% of the participants knew, or about 1,000 people knew what atherosclerosis is. The other 50%, 30% say, I don't know what you're talking about. First time in my life that I hear that word. The other 20% was mixed. Some of them say, like, that's something related to my blood. Others say, that's something related to my heart. And this is a coincidence with the other project, but some of them confuse the word with arthritis. Mm-hmm. So some of them say, like, that's something with my joints and my muscles. You know, we found that very interesting. One out of five didn't know that atherosclerosis could lead to a stroke or a heart attack. And more than 60%, when we asked them, do you know the risk factors? They couldn't list more than one or two, the max. So then the promotoras did their educational session. They used a movie. Some of them had posters, a PowerPoint presentation. They were talking about all of these different issues, what the disease was, what are the risk factors, what you could do to prevent it. After that, we asked them just to take the posters and tell us what happened. The number of participants, almost 90%, say, now I have a clear understanding of what you're talking about when you say atherosclerosis, which was pretty good. They were more aware and actually really worried about knowing that it can lead to a stroke and heart attack if they don't treat it. And more than half of the participants at the end could list three risk factors. The interesting thing here is that most of them actually identify the top three. Stop smoking, I need to start eating healthier, I need to exercise. I have the list of the rest if you're interested in knowing what they want to change. For the full report, please see me after the presentation. So what was our answer? What did we do after we found this? We did the cholesterol screenings. Yes, we need to start taking care of our cholesterol levels. So we established the physical activity campaign. This is something that has been tied to the First Lady Let's Get Move Everybody initiative. What we do is we get media, Univision as a national sponsor, so people actually see the telenovelas and they see the morning shows and they know that an event is gonna happen. We get the Soccer Foundation on board, and what they're doing is they're teaching soccer clinics to all the kids that participate. The US Tennis Association is bringing tennis rackets and teaching kids how to do this. Apart from that, most of the community-based organizations that we work with have a Zumba program or a fitness program or a salsa program, and the local school brings the mariachi group, and all of this is put together into one day event that brings the whole family to do something together. So we're addressing the issue at three levels. One at the individual, some of the people get to the event because they want to check their cholesterol because one, they don't have health insurance, number two, they don't know where to go. Then they bring their family because, you know, we're family-oriented. We like to be moving in packs. So when I bring my kids, if there is something that day that my kid can be doing while I'm getting my cholesterol check, that's good. And here we involve everybody in the community to bring all the resources that are available there. So they know not only about health, but, you know, immigration issues and food stamps and other stuff. At the practitioner level, we partnered with the American College of Cardiology, and we put together this group for the first time. Probably you hear about the group, the ABC, the African American Group of Cardiologists. We didn't have anything like this for the Hispanic community. So we brought together these practitioners in the cardiology field that serve Hispanics, and most of them are Hispanics, and they came together to work in four different areas. Number one, as I say before, with arthritis, there are no rheumatologists that serve the community. They are also not cardiologists and medical staff specializing in the cardiology field. So number one, they're trying to increase the number of kids going into medical school, and apart from that, going into the cardiology field. The patient and provider group are developing videos and brochures and every kind of educational material that you can think of, but this is from the physician point of view, what the physician will actually be happy giving the patient. Sometimes we create these brochures with 15 pages and nobody's going to read them. They want one page with three bullets and say, this is what you need to start doing. At the international efforts, and this is very interesting because we have a lot of medical staff from our countries that migrate here and they have problems, you know, taking the exams and getting their license. So they are also working in that field to try to get more of practitioners here that understand our culture and our language. And in the science and policy, they are supporting different studies and research. Probably some of you are already familiar with the SOL study, the study of Latinos. Largest epidemiological study in the United States, just focusing on Latinos, 61 million following 16 Hispanics for 6 years. We really hope that we will be able to have our own Framingham study that tell us why we suffer from diabetes, we don't exercise, we have heart disease, and we still live longer. That's all I have for you. More resources, we have something specially used for cardiovascular diseases called cardiohispano.org. And if you need any more information, please feel free to contact me. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to open the floor for any questions, and certainly for any one of the panelists, feel free to ask the specific questions. Okay. So go ahead and kind of.
We had about a 70% retention, so it's not great for a randomized control trial. I mean, and so for us, but we were pretty pleased with that. I will say that we had to change. We had done the program with one family literacy program. This is in the initial PASOS program. And family literacy is a problem because at the end of we did the 3-month follow-up after the program was done, and the family literacy program, once it ended, people were gone and we couldn't find them. And so we had this huge drop-off on the follow-up for that piece, and we had to say, you know what, we can't go back and do that until we're done because that's going to mess us up. And all I can say, and you know, it was a small community, and the promotores were amazing because that's what kept them in. What we found is if we could get them into 2 sessions, we had them. And so we would have a drop. When we had the drop was from measurement to that getting them there for the first 2 times.
Were they already there, though, for family literacy classes, and the PASOS was just added on to it, or was it a different?
No, for that case, they were already there for family literacy, so it was sort of like they just came in, and so they weren't committed to the PASOS program, they were committed to family literacy, so that was a problem. Do you want to add anything about? So the 12 weeks, but people keep coming back and going about the 12 weeks, but the problem is if we shorten it too much, how can we expect much in the way of behavior change? And so it makes it really challenging. So I'd love to hear how you guys, I mean, more about what you did.
You know, it's a great question. I think that we didn't have quite the retention that Lisa did. You know, we had about 55% attending at least eight classes. But I think, you know, she's right. There's a lot of work that goes into getting people to return each week. And certainly our promotoras worked very hard at making phone calls each and every week to remind people, you know, given our demographics, we had to call them. And then at each class session, reminding them to come back. But I think it's really the personal relationships, at least in Charlar, that were developed by our promotoras with our small groups. I think she's right. You know, once you get them a few, 2 or 3 weeks, and they start to see the value of the program, and they connect with the promotoras, they're more likely to come back. But it's difficult. And I think you have to let the participants during recruitment determine the time and days of the classes, at least for us. And then once they kind of determine that, you can parse them into groups, they're much more likely to be there.